Anywhere where you see failing democracies, you see constitutional hardball. So what prevents a political system from degenerating from a system premised on these norms of mutual toleration and forbearance into a system of constitutional hardball? These two norms we call the soft guardrails of democracy. What prevents this from happening? Well, one of the lessons that we draw from history is that typically under conditions of high polarization, where citizens and political leaders regard each other as so fundamentally opposed that they are existential challenges to each other, then it's much harder to abide by these two norms. So if you view your rival as an existential threat, as somebody who's fundamentally threatening, why would you not use any means at your disposal to stop your opposition? And so, you know, there's been recent survey work done by the Pew Foundation in the United States, which shows that when Republicans and Democrats are asked, you know, what do you think of the other side, 40% of Democrats and Republicans say that the other side makes them afraid. There's a famous poll that cites back in the 1960s, when asked, you know, how you would feel about your child marrying a Republican or a Democrat, the figure was around 4% expressed displeasure. They said they would be upset if their child married somebody from the other political party. Today, that figure is in the 40s and 50s. So there's intense animosity across party lines. And when there's intense animosity across party lines, it's much harder to abide by these norms of mutual toleration and forbearance. The problem is, if a political system lacks mutual toleration and forbearance, it's much harder for it to be stable. So what all of this comes down to then, you know, when we think about kind of the current moment in the United States, this poses a set of challenges. Because as a political leader comes to power who people are afraid of, for good reason, the question is, how do you respond to this? What should the Democratic opposition do when facing somebody with authoritarian tendencies who's in power? This is not a dilemma that's only unique. This is unique to the United States. This is a dilemma that all Democratic oppositions throughout history have faced. Do you mimic the other side and abandon forbearance and carry out constitutional hardball, or do you step back from the brink? Now, there's not an easy choice. So to give you an example, I mean, during President Obama was president, I mean, a great example of the abandoning of forbearance or constitutional hardball carried out by the Republicans was probably the most egregious example, at least in my mind, was the refusal to hold hearings for President Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court. When President Obama nominated somebody to the Supreme Court, I mean, often the Senate will not approve somebody's nomination, but to not even hold hearings was a norm that hadn't been violated since the 1860s. So this was an incredible violation, pushing to the limit with the sole goal of defeating a political opponent. So the question now becomes, you know, with President Trump in office, come the fall, if let's say the Democrats retake the Senate, should the Democrats do the same thing to President Trump what Republicans did to President Obama? Should they also abandon forbearance? That's not an easy question. I mean, some people say, of course we should. There's too much simply at stake. But the point that we make in our book is that this is dangerous. It's understandable to have this reaction, but there's a danger. If we look around the world, when both sides begin to abandon forbearance, countries enter into a death spiral that's hard to get out of. There's a kind of tit-for-tat that takes place in which the outcome is rarely good. Now, of course, you know, people may say, well, you know, we can't fight with one hand tied behind our back, and that's certainly the case. I mean, there's lots of people who say Democrats need to learn to fight like Republicans. And without a kind of punishment for this misbehavior, misbehavior is going to continue. Again, that's an understandable response. But one of the points we make in our book is we have to be very careful about this. I mean, we're not arguing that Democratic oppositions shouldn't fight in a kind of vigorous, muscular way, but they need to figure out how to do this in ways that are norm-reinforcing rather than norm-breaking. And our democracy is fragile. I mean, I think many of us have taken democracy for granted for many years. I mean, no democracy as old as the United States or as rich as the United States has ever broken down. But when you have high conditions of polarization, declining norms of mutual toleration and forbearance, democracy is very, very fragile. And so the question is, how do we get out of this bind? So I'll leave it there. Thanks. Uh-huh.